Elizabeth Barrett is a wife, mother, licensed marriage and family therapist, educator, eavesdropper, and emotion worker. She uses all of these skills to address the subjects we all struggle with in this conversation with a reluctant therapist. Happy Tuesday, Elizabeth.
Happy Tuesday, Hank. We're going to set the mood a little bit before we jump into the conversation. Just a little background music. Get us focused on where we're going, the things we care about, music that inspires us.
Swanky.
It is kind of swank. It's Alicia Keys and...
skies, for amber waves of grain, over purple mountain majesties.
That gets my heart pounding. I get so excited when I hear this music. Of course, her voice is beautiful, but the song is beautiful, and what it represents to me is so beautiful. And yesterday was Memorial Day, and so I wanted to build from that observation, which is Memorial Day. You know, it's interesting, there's a little controversial history around Memorial Day because, you know, it's a federal holiday, the day that we remember the men and women who died while serving our country. And for many, they feel like that, you know, the original date was May 30th, and it should just fall on whenever May 30th is, because it's just become kind of the signal of the beginning of summer, and it's a three-day holiday, and a lot of this idea of honoring, it was originally called Decoration Day, where people would go out to the cemetery and put flags and flowers on the graves of those who had died in service and in remembrance of them. But, you know, things have changed. In 1971, it formally became Memorial Day, and it was the last Monday and became kind of the kickoff to the summer. But there are people that still feel like that it's lost some of its meaning and its value because it's become too tied into the holidays. So we're going to talk a little bit about the original idea of Memorial Day, this honoring of those who gave their lives in service. And I don't know if you knew, but on the tradition on Memorial Day is that first thing in the morning, the flag is raised quickly all the way to the top of the staff, and then it is slowly and solemnly lowered to half staff position, where it stays until noon in honor of those who died. And then at noon, the flag is raised as a reminder to the living to not let the sacrifice and death of those who gave their lives for the country be in vain. So the rising of the flag is the rising of our minds and our memory that we need to continue to fight for liberty and justice for all. And so today I want to talk about the duty of the living to rise up and carry on the fight for what others died protecting, and talk about what it is exactly we believe is our duty to serve. You didn't do military service.
I did not, no. And I'm not super patriotic, but I enjoyed that little story about the flag. And it is important, I think, to remember.
It is. And how do we carry on? Because I really think the important piece of that is that reminder to the living that we need to carry on so these lives have not been lost in vain. And how do we carry on? And for many, many people, the idea of military service is not their way of being patriotic or giving back to their country. And so what is that other path to service that we can have? And so a few years ago, I became really involved in the service year movement, this idea of national service as a cultural expectation for young people 18 to 28. And I'd always wondered, like, why isn't it a thing? Because I've never talked to any person who didn't like the idea of expecting young people to give a year of service, you know, somehow building trails or working in a community, a community organization or doing education. And we do have those opportunities because I'm sure you've heard of AmeriCorps and Teach for America and City Year and a lot of the, you know, Peace Corps is considered service. these existed, but why isn't it something that everyone does? And why isn't it fully funded and, you know, easy to get involved with? I wondered why this wasn't a thing. And so I happened to get involved with an organization at the time called the Franklin Project. And it was led by, it was led by General Stanley McChrystal. And he was kind of leading this effort to make a service year a cultural expectation, to make it an opportunity for young people. And so I was able to join this organization. And I spent a year as an ambassador trying to build awareness about service years. So I started this kind of campaign on campus at Cal Poly and organized a group of students that got really excited about the idea of doing a service year, a way of building their resumes and building their experience and building their confidence and doing something kind of as a gap year between college and going out into the workforce. And, you know, the idea that it wasn't just volunteering or giving up a year of their life, traveling the world, but they are actually doing a specific job, something for their country, working with a nonprofit in a way, full-time paid service that was giving back to the community, but also giving them an opportunity to live so that they could do this service year. And so that was my experience last year. And over the course of the year, things at the Franklin Project changed. They actually came together with a group, three other different nonprofits, to form the Service Year Alliance. And so today I've invited a member of the Service Year Alliance, Erin Finucan, who she is the managing director of movement building at Service Year Alliance. And she leads the public mobilization efforts and advocacy campaign. She's our guest today to talk about the state of service in the country as it is and how we can move forward making national service not only a cultural expectation, but an opportunity for every young person who wants to be able to serve, to give back, to be a part of uniting the country. And Bree, I think we have a clip from General McChrystal. I wanted to share a little bit of the inspirational words that I had heard from him. This is from an interview with CNN a few years back, and something that he said, the things that he said that got me excited to promote and be a part of the national service movement. Do we have that?
Today, President Obama and Clinton met at the White House. They were honoring the 20th anniversary of AmeriCorps, an organization that some Americans may not even be familiar with. When young people go out and they teach, and they do that in communities that they might otherwise never get to see. Why do you think AmeriCorps is so important?
Well, on a first level, it's Americans helping other citizens, and it's building bonds between Americans. But I also think it's young Americans particularly helping themselves. You know, if we look at citizenship in America, you could argue, and I believe, that it has degraded over years. It has eroded. And a lot of people think that citizenship is paying taxes and voting, and many don't do either. But now we've got an opportunity to bind people, not just to the nation, but to their sense of citizenship and their responsibility for others. There's a great history in America for that. And so I thought it was a great step today when leaders in D.C. stepped up and pointed at one of the best programs in existence now, AmeriCorps.
And it's just one program that you support because you believe service should be mandatory for American kids, right? So people hear that and they think, wait a minute. That's not something that happens in the United States. Make the case.
I believe all young Americans should have the opportunity to serve. And actually, I believe it should be a cultural expectation that every young American does a service year. Mm-hmm. 12 months of paid service in conservation, healthcare, education, something, maybe military. Mm-hmm. Because I think it will change their relationship between each other and their sense of responsibility. And so I think that should become a cultural expectation that is rewarded mm-hmm. by things like education grants, rewarded by jobs, rewarded by access to education.
And do you think you talk about a sort of degrading of service or of citizenship in this country? Is it a sense of entitlement that's risen?
It's hard to say what it is. In some cases, if you're just not pushed hard, if we think of what Tom Brokaw called the greatest generation, they went through first a depression, then they went through the Second World War. And I think that those experiences and the requirements that it demanded of them, I think it changed them. I don't think we've had much of that lately. I don't think we've had enough asked of ourselves.
So those are the words of General Stanley McChrystal talking about the National Service Movement, Servishear Movement. And my guest today is Erin Funokan. She is the Managing Director of Movement Building at Servishear Alliance, which is the combination of four different nonprofits that were all working towards the same idea of making service a cultural expectation. And Erin now is leading the efforts, public mobilization efforts, and advocacy campaigns to grow the movement. Erin, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me and for your great commitment to the issue.
Oh, I definitely have my passions for it. And I am excited to know and have you share with the listeners, how did you come to be a part of the Servishear Alliance? And what is the Servishear Alliance as it is today, now a year out from its inception?
Yeah, so as you mentioned, I'm the Managing Director of Movement Building at Servishear Alliance, and my background is largely in campaigns and movement building. But my connection to service actually begins with my grandfather, who was a veteran and proud Irish-American, and oddly enough, JFK, which is probably common for many 70-somethings and potentially less so for 30-somethings like myself. But my grandfather passed away when I was quite young, and he was a bit of a local celebrity. He wrote for a small paper outside of Philadelphia. And I began reading his book collection at a very young age as a way to get to know him. And being a proud Irishman, he had dozens, if not hundreds, of books on JFK and RFK and Teddy Kennedy, who was a senator at the time. And I read each and every one. And as a result, I became completely enchanted with politics and this idea that we are all called to be part of something larger than ourselves. And as such, we have a responsibility to fulfill that calling. I think much like you so beautifully said, the duty of the living. Mm-hmm. And this is the common thread of the Servishear movement. The issues that we care about may be different, and the places we serve and how we serve may be different, but we are all called to be part of something larger than ourselves. And this is, of course, embodied in the famous quote from JFK's inauguration speech, "Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country." But in the 15 years that I worked on political and issue campaigns, I became convinced that we'd be more engaged, more plugged in, and we'd feel more connected as a society if people served, if people understood their power. And I can think of no better way for people to experience that power than through service. It's really one of the most powerful and political things a person can do. So in that realization, service, and specifically making a year of service part of growing up in America, became my mission. And as you mentioned, that is the mission of Servishear Alliance. We are an organization relentlessly pursuing a bold vision of making a year of service a common expectation and opportunity for every young American. And we're working to achieve that goal through a number of different strategies. One is catalyzing the supply of Servishear opportunities. Another is building awareness and demand among young people. And another is unlocking more funding from public and private resources. And then, of course, finally, building the movement we need to be successful against all of those objectives.
So let's talk, Erin, a little bit about the awareness piece. Because, you know, I am so excited about this opportunity for every young person, every student I teach, my children, my nieces, everyone I meet, to be able to take a year of their life and have a full-time paid job, which is key because there isn't a lot of work out there for young people. So the key part of being able to have this full-time paid experience working for a nonprofit, meeting a community need somewhere in the country, anywhere that they want to live and there's a need there. And then the piece also of not only building resumes and skills and confidence, but also the idea of loan forbearance during that year so young people can step away from their student loans while they're doing this work and service. And for many of them, the opportunity to have a service education credit when they're finished with their service year to apply towards their education. So once I hear all of those things, for me, you don't need to sell anymore. But I'm always surprised by, one, how many students have no idea that these Servishear opportunities exist, and how many parents hear this and reject it as folly, or, you know, will take their children off their path. How do we address the very basic awareness piece?
Yeah, it's a huge challenge. I think there's a really troubling statistic, like 70% of young people have no idea that a service year is even an opportunity. But I think when you look at some of the statistics coming out of high school and college, you know, 55% of high schools don't feel college or career ready. 74% of college students feel unprepared for life after graduation. 50% of employers are dissatisfied when they hire new graduates because they're unprepared. A service year is really a no-brainer. So I think, yeah, one of the top priorities for Service Year Alliance is to address that education and awareness gap through everything from digital marketing campaigns by having boots on the ground at colleges and universities across the country where alums of various service year programs are talking to young people about the service year experience. Because I think, you know, whether you're figuring out what comes next after high school or college, whether you're searching for an opportunity to start a new path or a new career, whether you're looking to gain experience for a job or school, there are just thousands of service year programs across the country and around the world. You know, many people will have heard of Teach for America and City Year and, of course, the Peace Corps, but there are so many different programs that cross different issue areas. For example, with FEMA Corps, Corps members respond to natural disasters across the country. With Artist Year, Corps members bring art to vulnerable youth populations. If you're interested in the environment and making a difference outdoors, there's conservation corps across the country doing really amazing work. So no matter what your passion is, there's a service year out there for you. And if you don't know what your passion is yet, then a service year is a great way to figure that out. The marketing, the education and awareness gaps is huge. One of the other ways that we're seeking to address that is through our tech platform at serviceyear.org. So I think one of the reasons this gap exists is that the field is so diverse and so decentralized that there, you know, previous to Service Year Alliance, there were literally hundreds of websites that you could go to find different opportunities to serve with, you know, these hundreds of programs around the country. So at serviceyear.org, we've curated a lot of the service year opportunities all across the country. So young people can go on there, enter their interests, some of the skills they're looking to develop, where they'd like to serve, and identify great opportunities all across the country. So that's one of the ways that we're trying to make it a little easier for folks to connect to some of those opportunities and find the service year program that's right for them.
If you're just tuning in, this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. My guest is Erin Finicon. She is the Managing Director and of Movement Building at Service Year Alliance. And we're talking today on the heels of Memorial Day, the duty of the living to carry on the work of those who lost their lives in service. And how can we build a service opportunity for all young people 18 to 28, and also for the seniors who want to give back, because the Senior Corps is also very active with 270,000 members per year. And so I'm curious to know what you think about this idea of the service year. And have you served before, or have you considered serving in some way? And what do you think about the idea of making this a cultural expectation? Our number is 805-781-3875 to be part of the conversation. You can also find us on our Facebook page, The Reluctant Therapist. You can email me to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. You can also find previous shows at kcbx.org under the News Talk tab. And if you'd like to subscribe to our shows, get our podcasts every week, you can go to the App Store at Apple and look for A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist, and there you'll find more information. And so Erin and I are talking about kind of the nitty-gritty of how do we get people to understand what the service year is and get them to buy into this idea of the benefits of the service year, not just for the individual, but for our culture and society and communities as a whole. But it's also, I think, very powerful to hear from people who have actually done service. And Amy McIsaac, is this you, Amy?
Yes, hi.
Hi, thank you for taking the time to call in. I know that you're the Managing Director of External Affairs, and you actually served with VISTA. And can you describe a little bit about your experience and what VISTA is and what inspired you to do it and how it changed your life?
Sure. So VISTA is a program, it actually stands for Volunteers in Service to America. It's actually came out of LBJ's tenure back in the 60s and his war on poverty, and actually has it very much affected my life. I did it in 2007 to 2008, right after I graduated from college. I went to Providence College in Rhode Island, and I knew I wanted to give back. Felt like I had been given a lot of gifts in my life up to that point, and I had thought very deeply about what it means to be part of a community, both in your neighborhood and in your city, but also your national community. And so I got that calling to serve, and didn't really know which way I wanted it to manifest in my life, but kind of stumbled across AmeriCorps Vista opportunity. So I spent a year in Washington, D.C. I worked with a nonprofit called LIFT, L-I-F-T, and they work with homeless and unemployed families who are struggling under the kind of crippling weight and just sheer kind of madness that is the social service system. And so I help families navigate their way to social services benefits, helping them figure out the right way to get back on their feet for employment. Often these needs are very interrelated, and so we were able to sit by their side and really help them navigate with them. As a VISTA, I actually am more, I was more on the capacity building side of the organization. So what I just described there, working with the families, I did probably once a week. And I had my colleagues who were doing that full time. In a capacity building role, I was actually helping to build out the organization's capacity to be talking to external audiences, both communications and development, and tell our story about why this work was important. So it was a very interesting year. I got to not only engage in the front lines of our work, but also build the capacity of the organization to do that work for the long haul. And I've stayed engaged with that organization for the last decade. So it was a really meaningful year. I could tell stories and stories and stories from that year. I learned a lot what it meant to live on $10,900 in Washington, D.C. for a year and doing it. So it was a really impactful year for me in a lot of ways.
And I've heard people talk about one of the things of service with the AmeriCorps or any of the service organizations is that you do develop a cohort, right, of people that you're serving with at that time that become part of your life. Because it's not just working for the nonprofit, but isn't it also the relationships you make with other people that are serving at the same time?
Absolutely, yeah. There were probably about 30 of us across the organization in 2007 when I was there, and six of them were in my specific office. And so a bunch of those fellow service year members were at my wedding last fall and have stayed very, very close with them. But even all 30 of us, you know, we kind of had this very deep shared experience about what it means to serve communities across the country. LIFT was a national organization. So even though we weren't serving side by side, we were having a very similar experience, and the organization brought us back pretty regularly to share best practices and also reflect on that. So, yeah, that you're absolutely right. That shared experience, I think, is one of the most powerful pieces because, sure, you have that experience with other groups of people throughout your life, but never in the deliberate context of service and service to country and service to community. And I think that's what makes it special.
And have you seen it? I mean, I imagine that you did not go to college to work for a nonprofit. Like, I imagine that's not what you set out to do. So did you get
right.
Any, were your parents at all concerned when you said, now I'm changing direction? Or how do you, you know, how did you find your way into this place? And how did you kind of build support within your family?
Yeah, my family was very supportive. They understood the kind of financial consequences to doing a service year. Like I said, back in 2007, it was about $10,900. I think today it's closer to $12,000, $13,000, just adjusted for inflation. And then you get an education award at the end as well. So I got about $5,000 that I could apply back to my education loans from college. So they were aware that this was going, that I think that was the piece that was going to be the hardest to convince them on, that I could live healthy and safe life for a year in Washington, D.C. on that amount of money. And I was able to do it. I still look back to it and I'm like, my goodness, how did I do that? But I had no help from family and friends. I made it work. And so I think once they saw that I was really determined to do that, they were really supportive. I think from the sidelines, they were always on the ready should there be an issue, and luckily there was not. So I think they were very supportive from that angle. And, you know, from kind of a career trajectory angle, there's just, I think there's a lot of stigma about what it means to serve as it a detour off of the path of what you're meant to do in the world and how to keep your job going. And actually, I think it's a huge accelerator, and I found that to be true over the last 10 years. I went from being in AmeriCorps Vista, where I was exposed to so much in an organizational, like how to run an organization, how to communicate outside of an organization, how to manage a team. And I have actually stayed in the nonprofit sector, kind of surprised to myself, and those skills I use every single day. I think if I had gone another path, I would not be as far in my career as I am 10 years out. So I found it to be quite an accelerator, and I'm really grateful that I took that investment in the early part of my career.
And so how have you seen the service year movement change in the last 10 years since you joined?
That's a great question. I think that there's a, when I did AmeriCorps there, you know, then Peace Corps was over there, and it was kind of this like very different experience. People understood Peace Corps mm-hmm. a little bit more than they understood AmeriCorps. It's not a dissimilar experience. One's international, one's domestic. I think over the last 10 years, we've gotten, there's been a closer movement to understand that these are really just cousins of each other, and it's all under the same umbrella. So I have a lot of friends who did the Peace Corps, and I feel a kindred spirit with them that I see now than back about 10 years ago. I think it was a little bit like pride in our unique experiences. So I'd certainly say that. I also think that there's just a really amazing amount of innovation happening in service right now. And so different models are emerging that change the value proposition. So maybe I don't have to be living on $10,900 a year, or programs are thinking about housing and supporting young people. So as they are living on their stipend, they're not having to pay rent on that, and different ways to be thinking about cohorts and to your question earlier, the different ways people connect across programs. There's just a lot more energy and innovation happening, and I think it's really exciting. I think there's also a really big intentionality around growing. I remember about 10 years ago, the program I was working with always had hopes to scale, but was kind of hitting some ceilings on the way. And now there's just, I think, different kind of support and different kind of conversation about not only do we need to maintain the number of positions that exist today, but we need to really be thinking creatively and innovatively about how to grow the 65,000 positions today to 100,000 in the next couple of years. And our hope is that it can be part of growing up in America, and really every 18 to 24 or 28-year-old is doing a service year. So I think that there's a different kind of hunger to really scale this thing. And I think, you know, given kind of what's happening in the world today, we can all agree that kind of the humility and service to country and community could benefit all of us.
Mm-hmm. And I like that also, the serving country and community and the humility involved, because we talk a lot about, you know, the work opportunities and the resume building, the skill building of working for a nonprofit, and, you know, the benefits for that professionally. But I also, because I'm a therapist, look always at the mental health piece, and I see this desperate need for young people to, one, be connected to something greater than themselves, because there's a kind of emptiness in only pursuing your own interests, and also that being able to step away from the pressure of having been pushed through, you know, the educational system so hard from the time they're so young, to be able to step aside, take a breather, do something, you know, where they're kind of stretching themselves, but there's not the pressure of performance ratings or grades involved, mm-hmm. but really just the pureness of doing something for others, and you feel good about that. I mean, you know, it'd be nice if there was a living stipend that was comfortable, but I think the greater part of this is that building of resilience and sense of pride and self-esteem that I think also goes really undervalued in the benefit of this idea.
I think you're right. And, you know, 10 years out, I think to myself all the time, I can do this because I did it once. You know, like, I think I was stretched so much during my service year in all the ways you mentioned, and it makes me just feel really empowered that I can do anything. And I also said earlier, like, I could tell stories upon stories. Like, I will, one of the big reflections I had during my year is that, you know, no help from my family, no help from my friends. Like, I can figure out how to make life work in a way that the people I'm serving with, like, I think I just came face to face with privilege in a very different way. And that's always been part of my, my view of the world now that I've had that experience of, you know, if something goes wrong, I have a phone call and I can call somebody who can help me out. A lot of the people we were working with didn't have that luxury. And that's where, they started to spiral in a way I probably wouldn't in my life. So while our circumstances weren't so dissimilar, our safety net was quite dissimilar. And so I learned a ton about what it actually means to struggle and what it actually means, you know, to navigate the world. And I think I'm a much stronger person for it. I think I really, like, have a dose of reality in a way some of my peers don't. Mm-hmm. And I'm grateful for that firsthand exposure at an early age.
And you carry that pride of having served your country for the rest of your life.
Yes.
Which I think is the overriding piece of being able to feel like you've been an engaged and active citizen in a profound way.
Yes, absolutely.
Amy, thank you so much for taking the time to call and share your experience with service, and thank you for your service.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciated it.
If you're just tuning in, this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. You're listening to Public Radio, KCBX, and we're talking about the idea of national service and giving back to our country in meaningful ways that not necessarily has to be around military service, but how do we do domestic service, and how do we make this an opportunity for all young people 18 to 28 and seniors and beyond, whoever wants to be able to serve their country and feel that sense of pride as we think about those who have died while serving our country, and how it is our duty, those who are still here, to continue to fight for liberty and justice for all. And we will continue this conversation and come back to our conversation with Aaron after this quick break and your calls. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. And you're listening to Public Radio KCBX. And my guest today is Erin Finucane. She is the Managing Director of Movement Building at Service Year Alliance. And we're talking about how do we grow awareness about the service year idea? Why is it important for our country, our communities, and for young people? And Erin, I guess it's important to talk about where the Service Year Alliance stands at this moment, because with the 2018 budget being released, or the proposed budget, the whole funding for the service year has been put on the chopping block. So what does that do for this movement that you're so passionately involved in?
Yeah, so the Trump administration, unfortunately, has proposed eliminating the Corporation for National and Community Service, which includes AmeriCorps, which is our country's largest full-time national service program. It's important to mention they also proposed cuts to the Peace Corps, so AmeriCorps was not completely alone there. And this proposal would be devastating to communities across the country and is frankly completely out of touch with the opinions of the American people. 83% of voters support maintaining or increasing the federal investment in national service. And of course, 80% of millennials want to do it. So for most administrations, this would be a win-win scenario.
But it's important to remember what's at stake here, because these programs are not only providing critical services, but they're irreplaceable. Thanks to 80,000 AmeriCorps members serving each year, 188,000 veterans and military families receive critical assistance. 800,000 Americans are better prepared for natural disasters, not to mention the tremendous impact that these Corps members have on education, on the environment, and a whole host of other issues. So this is critical, because AmeriCorps is essential to Service Year Alliance's goal of universal national service, not only because it's the largest national service program, but there is a tremendous return on investment. So for every federal dollar leverages more than a dollar of private support. So that's huge. And you never see that with federal programs. Additionally, AmeriCorps supports strong evidence-based programs that we should be talking about expanding, not eliminating. So we're talking about beloved programs like City Year, like Teach for America, Habitat for Humanity, and conservation corps across the country. But the good news with all of this is the president's budget proposal is exactly that. It's just a proposal. And Congress controls the power of the purse. So really, it's more important than ever to make sure that everyone who supports national service and increasing opportunities for young people to serve are making their voices heard. And that's a top priority for us at Service Year Alliance right now.
And so there's been so much, activity, people trying to rally the troops and get people to call or to write this letter or send this email. And I worry sometimes that we're getting on overload, because it feels like everything we care about is in some set of, level of crisis. So how do we encourage people to support national service, or what can they do without it being just one more SOS, here, send this text or send this email? How are you helping to bring people together to advocate or build a grassroots awareness about this?
Yeah, it is a tough time right now. And certainly I think people are feeling called to act on a variety of issues that they care about. But it is important to remember that every congressional office has a staff person that keeps track of constituent engagement. So that means there's someone that meticulously tracks the number of letters, the number of emails, and the number of calls that come in on any particular issue. They also read the local papers every morning to read what their constituents are writing letters to the editor and opinion pieces about. So it is, however, important to be really creative and to be bold. And Service Year Alliance is working from the ground up in communities across the country to build local teams, activate volunteers, and take action in as many states as possible. And I think the good news is, if there's a silver lining from this situation, it's that we've seen unprecedented momentum. So we currently have 41 community teams across the country. Since January, more than 1,800 people have signed up to volunteer. We've organized 120 congressional engagements, 45 events, drafted hundreds of handwritten letters, tens of thousands of emails, and thousands of calls with our partners across the field. So, and this is just the beginning. And, we're creating new community teams every week, recruiting new volunteers every day. And the millions of people that support national service and that believe we should be expanding opportunities to serve, they're not going to be ignored. And we're not going to rest until we beat back this elimination threat and start having the conversations our citizens, our communities, and our country deserves, which is not about, how do we save national service, but it's how do we expand national service? How do we make a year of service part of growing up in America?
Well, and I think also we're searching for the positivity, the things that unite us as a country, instead of this constant sense of feeling divided or divisive or having nothing in common. People with so many cultural backgrounds and religions and belief systems, we couldn't possibly have anything in common. And yet here is something, a year of service that is that common experience that can unite the most diverse populations. And why would we not want to be a part of something that's so positive? It's actually something emboldening to do in light of all the things that we really feel helpless in addressing.
Absolutely. I mean, there are very few situations where you'd see a young person from Birmingham, Alabama, serving alongside someone from Brooklyn, New York, and just Americans from all different walks of life coming together to roll up their sleeves and address some of the greatest challenges facing our communities. I think there's nothing more American than that. So I think, you know, at a time when our country has never been more divided, this is a great strategy to bring Americans of all backgrounds together and to empower young Americans to tackle some of the most pressing issues facing our country while transforming their own lives.
It is, and I see this every day on the campus. You know, students want to feel engaged. They want to feel hopeful for their future, and they get a lot of bad news constantly about the competition to get into grad school and the competition for jobs and the degrading of the environment. I feel like they're overwhelmed with bad news, and they're so excited about something that feels life-affirming. And this year, we've started a chapter on campus, a Service Year Alliance chapter on campus, and the students jumped in and put on a service fair to build awareness on campus for other students. And now a couple of my students that were part of the Service Year chapter are going to the Bonnaroo Music Festival to represent the Service Year Alliance and talk to people attending the festival. I mean, that couldn't feel more exciting for my students who have volunteered their time and feel so passionate about this.
No, that's so great to hear, and you guys do have such a tremendous chapter, and the students on campus are doing amazing work. But at Service Year Alliance, we follow the principle of meet people where they are, and so we're going to Bonnaroo Music Festival. We're also going on tour with Vans Warped Tour this summer. We're one of the featured nonprofit partners, so really trying to reach as many young people as possible and talk to them about this tremendous opportunity that could really transform their lives.
You're listening to A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. My guest is Aaron Finucane. I'm not saying your name right, Aaron, and every time I say it now, I just am so embarrassed, so I apologize.
No worries.
But Aaron is the Managing Director of Movement Building at Service Year Alliance, and we're talking today about this big idea that I first learned about having become involved with General Stanley McChrystal's Franklin Project and the idea of making a service year a cultural expectation for young people. And I'm interested to know what you think about this. 805-781-3875. Have you done a service year? Are you interested in a service year? How do you feel about your kids taking time away from their life trajectory and stepping aside and giving a year of service to our country? And is it too outdated? Is the idea of patriotic service something that's old school, that's not in vogue anymore, that we should care about? I mean, have we become so jaded that the idea of service to the country feels unimportant? I'm curious to know. 781-3875 is the number to be part of our conversation today. And I want to take a moment just to hear a little bit more from General McChrystal, because his words have inspired me and his big ideas kind of pushed the Service Year Alliance together. So let's hear a little bit about from General McChrystal.
Over the past few decades, we've come to equate service with military service. In reality, service is much broader: education, healthcare, conservation. If you look back at American history and go to those existential crises we faced, the American Revolution, the Civil War, World War I, World War II, but then also include things like the Great Depression, the Civil Rights Movement, and other periods when we had to change America and it took service. But we've retreated from that. We've allowed earlier ideas of responsibility for young Americans to erode a bit. And I think our concept of citizenship has eroded a bit. And I think we see that in the divisions across our nation now. The goal of the Service Year Alliance is to give every young American the opportunity to do a year of paid national service.
So, Aaron, when you hear this, does it seem old school, old fashioned? I mean, does this resonate in today's climate, this idea of national service, giving back, being an engaged citizen?
No, I mean, I think for me, it's just the opposite. I think never have those values been more important. And, you know, the amazing thing about service year opportunities is it's a way to live your values. And it can set you on a trajectory to do amazing things. And, you know, it doesn't matter where you are in your life. It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter you know, what issue you're called to serve on behalf of. There are so many amazing opportunities, and I think now more than ever, it's more important that we as citizens are rolling up our sleeves and standing together. Because when Americans stand together, that's when our country's the greatest.
When you think, you know, if you look back over history, and he talked about the Depression and the Civil Rights Movement, times where the country felt very divided or very hopeless, that it was exactly in those moments that the strength of the individual citizen really became apparent. And, you know, I have these hopeful moments where I can see that social media and there's all these different platforms and ways to bring people together in really positive, empowering ways. But I worry sometimes that that we're overloaded, that there's so much need and so much overwhelm for young people. They don't even know where to start. You know, you have the serviceyear.org website, and, you know, I send my students there, just look and see where you'd like to serve or in what area you might be interested. And they walk away oftentimes saying it's more overwhelm. I don't even know where to start with that because there are so many places of need. And so how do you address that sense of overwhelm? And how do you help students or young people feel like they can make a difference even when there's 65,000 places that they are needed?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I totally hear you on the overwhelm piece. I mean, I think one of the most important things that we try to do through our movement building work is connect young people to alums so that they can hear firsthand about what their experience was like serving. And, you know, in these community teams that I mentioned, we have alums that served with programs across the country, whether that was City Year or Teach for America or AmeriCorps or VISTA. We've got Return Peace Corps volunteers. We have people that served with faith-based programs and private programs. And, you know, for us, a lot of it is about relationship building and focusing not just on the quantity but quality, and you know, what moves, you know, you as an individual is going to be much more important than the resources we throw at you, or you know, we could have, you know, tens of thousands of opportunities on a website, but if it feels too overwhelming to get to, you know, that's not going to do the trick. So as often as we can, we try to connect prospective core members or people that are just interested in learning more about what a service year is and what those experiences look like to other young people who have served.
My guest today is Erin Funicon from the Service Year Alliance. We're talking about service as a cultural expectation for young people 18 to 28 and in our way of being engaged citizens and continuing the promise made by those who died serving our country that we would continue to fight for liberty and justice and opportunity for all. This is Public Radio KCBX, and we have a traffic issue that we're going to step aside for a moment and hear from Bree with an update. Bree.
Hi there, Bree Zender here, and I just wanted to give our listeners, there's a traffic tie-up on northbound 101 through Santa Maria between the Main Street exit and Highway 166. There's two lanes that are closed due to a traffic incident and trash on the road, so be careful out there if you're on the road.
If you get too engaged in the conversation, you're not paying attention, so look for those alternative routes.
Drive safely, please.
Definitely drive safely. Thank you, Bree. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. And what are your feelings about this idea of service and giving back to your country? And do you still feel like that's something that you're teaching your children? Is that a value that you're passing along to your children as part of their development and growth into adulthood? How do you feel about this expectation? Is that something that you would want them to pursue? 805-781-3875 is the number to be part of our conversation. It's one of the things that I hear quite often from my students because, as I said before, once my students hear about the service year and the paid service and the opportunity to build skills and to develop emotionally and professionally, and the loan forbearance, not having to worry about student loans for a year, and then the educational stipend at the end of that year where they can help pay back their student loans, you know, they're sold right away. I rarely have a student that says, "Now that's not for me." But they'll go home and they'll be so excited. They'll tell their parents, and then their parents are the ones saying, "I don't know, you know, that's, you can't live on that money, and you don't have to worry about giving back to the country, or you should really think about yourself and your career." So I don't know how to deal with that that pushback from my generation of parents who didn't have that same value of service, or maybe are jaded when it comes to thinking about the importance of your patriotic duty to your country. Like maybe my generation somehow missed what the baby boom, not the baby boomers, but the greatest generation felt, and what young people today are feeling. But did we as the baby boomers miss that cultural message? 805-781-3875. Aaron, what do you say about that? Is there some problem with my parenting generation where we stopped teaching the value of service?
No, I don't think it's a generational issue or a failure of teaching service or promoting service as a value. But I think we're back to that education and awareness gap. Because I think for a lot of parents, when they, you know, hear their kid comes home from school and is really excited about this opportunity that they've never heard of, you know, from a parent's reaction is initially going to be, wait a second, that's going to take you off your path. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, for us, it's all about addressing that gap and making sure that parents know about the benefits of doing a service year, that their children will get paid to make a difference on issues that they care about, that they'll gain real world experience that can help them define their career and their education goals, that they'll gain valuable leadership skills earlier in life, gaining exposure to new ideas and ways of seeing the world. And I think, like, really, tangibly, you know, 79% of AmeriCorps alums report that their service year exposed them to new career options, and 67% of them report that it gave them an advantage when looking for a job. Mm-hmm. And the percentage, I think it's 95% of service year alumni report that they felt they made a contribution to society. And that's huge. But I think also critically for parents is to demonstrate that this is an experience that employers value, and we're seeing that more and more. So Employers of National Service is an initiative that connects service year alumni with employers from the private, public, and nonprofit sectors. There's more than 500 companies that have signed on. And these aren't just small, you know, mom and pop companies, though there are some, but they also include Delta Airlines and Disney and MasterCard and Comcast, to name a few. So I think we're really starting to see employers value this experience. We're hearing more and more about universities incentivizing this experience, and, you know, not only promoting it, but rewarding it either by matching the education award or offering college credit for those who have served a year. So I think, you know, in making sure that parents are aware of some of those other benefits and things that really will help their children as they sort out their paths, I think that could be hugely beneficial.
So what's an example of a university that's offering incentives? What does that look like? Do you know?
Yeah, so I believe it's Tufts University has a 3+1 program, mm-hmm. Where you can serve a year and then graduate 3 years after that. I know there's an interesting pilot being developed right in California at UC San Diego that I believe it's a Pathways to STEMS pilot where they'll have service year fellowships. Stanford has been extremely active in this space. In Virginia, all the universities have signed a pledge to incentivize service year experiences, and I think it varies from, you know, asking about the service year on the college application, much like you'd ask about military service, to credits and loan forgiveness. So we're seeing it more and more at universities across the country, so hopefully this is a trend that continues.
And then when it comes to employers, what kind of things are employers asking? Is it on their application? How are they rewarding service?
Yeah, I think similarly it depends, where I think some are asking about it on the application. Others, like Service Year Alliance, is an employer of National Service, and we try to make sure every Service Year alum at a minimum gets an interview in our process. So I think it varies depending on the company, but, you know, we're also working to strengthen that initiative and make sure that companies are incentivizing it more and more.
And so for people that are just hearing about the service year now, today, or they've heard about it, weren't quite sure, they've heard of AmeriCorps and City Year, how can they get more information? How can they help the movement?
Well, for young people that are interested in learning more about serving, they can go to serviceyear.org. But for those that are interested in joining the movement and taking action in their community, whether that's being connected to other Service Year alums of all backgrounds or just Americans and citizens that believe service is a core American value, they can text SYA to 52886, and they'll be prompted to take an action and join the movement.
And what kind of opportunities are there? I mean, I guess you said something about letter writing campaigns, or you know, what kind of actions are people taking?
Yeah, so certainly letters, calls, petitions, and all those nitty-gritty advocacy actions are included. But we've got a huge opportunity ahead with the August recess when all members of Congress will be home in their districts. And we're really working to be creative and create an echo chamber so that everywhere a member of Congress goes, they're hearing about Service Years. And everywhere they go, they're seeing citizens that believe that national service is something that should be protected in the FY18 budget. So we'll have a lot of creative actions happening at the local level, including grassroots-led events. We'll have a presence at town halls, organizing some press events in August and September. So there's lots of opportunities to get involved and to be connected to like-minded people that feel really passionately about this issue.
Absolutely. And we have one quick phone call to take. Kathy, thanks for waiting. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
So do you have a question or comment?
No, just a quick comment. I wanted to throw into the pot, because I think it's a wonderful one, that there is also a move underway in San Luis Obispo County now to incorporate service for all of the public high schools in the county, to make that a requirement. Mm-hmm. And I believe San Luis Obispo High School has formally committed to the program at this point, and there's a group working to include all of the other high schools. The group is sort of an offshoot of the slow progressive movement that has formed since the new administration took place. And the organization itself is called Citizens Congress for Education Foundation. And if anyone is interested in getting involved on the local level for high school students, they can look up slowprogressives.org, or also on Facebook, Slow, S-L-O, Progressives, or go to Citizens Congress Education Foundation.us, and it will direct you to any local chapters. And I went to a fundraiser a couple weeks ago for it. They have a dynamic group of people getting this going and a lot of high school kids involved, too. So I think it would be a great addition to the university program and the senior program, is to also include teenagers and adolescents.
Thank you, Kathy. That's great information. And Aaron, as a last couple moments here, the Service Year focuses ages 18 to 28. So they're talking about students between high school and college, yes, and gap years of college or right after college. There's a lot of time to take that Service Year.
That's right. That's right.
And so, Aaron, I want to thank you for spending this hour with us talking about the Service Year Alliance. Thank you for the work you're doing. People can get more information at the serviceyear.org website. You can also find more information on our website, The Reluctant Therapist. As always, we thank you for being a part of this conversation and supporting public radio, KCBX. And I look forward to continuing this conversation again next Tuesday at 2.
What a strange meadowlark to be singing, oh, so sweetly in the park tonight, all alone, meadowlark. Are you dreaming of the moons that burn so bright and of love in flight? Can't you sleep? Is there nothing left but whistling in the dark? So sad was it, love, meadowlark. Were the songs you sang last summer crazy and mad? Think of all you had. A quiet nest way up in the clouds. Where soft winds blow, far from all the noisy crowds, where the earthbound go. Your wings have brushed against a star, boundless were the skies. You may have flown too fast, too far. Ah, but love is seldom wise. Don't you see? Try your call, won't turn another lark. In flight, he has gone. He's gone, Meadowlark. You can sing your song until the...